This is Mae Brussel. It is side two of tape number 862, June the 13th, 1988. Continuing this article that came out just 1 year ago, but is very pertinent to the kind of rewriting of history that we're getting. Like, all the drugs are from the 60s and 70s, from the President of the United States. Remember the Nugenhan Bank, the money, drug money that was there, $1 billion from admirals and generals involved with drug traffic from Southeast Asia, and the narcotics that flowed in even into the dead corpses of soldiers into this country. The drug problem, the heroin and the opium, not the opium, the cocaine, etc., flowed into this country, actually flowed in with the Vietnamese War and with the administration as soon as Kennedy was killed, with Richard Nixon in power, of the Shah of Iran and the Indonesian and Southeast Asian drugs coming from two places, from the Pacific over to the Pacific coast, and the others going to Marseille to be processed and then into the United States. The drugs were flowing. And I suppose that the presidency and the drug traffics were all supposed to be part of the national security state when it was set up. One to do the killings and doping the people, and the other to rule the world. Otherwise, why let out Lucky Luciano? So it outrages me to think of how Reagan simplifies things. But to get back to this article about Mr. Mingola, it continues about his close work with Stefano Della Calle, who's now in a jail in Italy serving time. He fled Italy for 17 years and then was taken back for trial of bombings and murders in Italy, including the Bologna train station bombing, where over 80 people were killed. And the article says that Stefano Della Calle, when he was arrested in Venezuela, and he's a close friend of Mr. Mingola, had documents in his possession listing the name, the occupation, and the addresses of 13,800 Italians, some living in Venezuela, who held political positions in fascist organizations. 13,800 fascists. Where is Simon Wiesenthal? Where are the Jewish leaders? Where are the people, not only Jews, but people who want freedom? This is one country, Italy, 13,000. And I believe, from the way I read the newspapers constantly, that this is a problem in every country. It has continued since World War II, and that the money from the Nazi gold and the Nazi and Japanese banks was salted away and then released, and now these people are really arming for what the national security state wanted in 1947 and what it could get in 2 or 3 years. 13,800 Italians just from one country. The article concludes, following Mingola's arrest in San Paolo, a source consulted in Buenos Aires said the authorities might possibly have been tipped off by Della Calle, who's in jail in Italy, because maybe he would get some leniency for his bombing efforts if he named Mr. Mingola as a drug trafficker. And it concludes, Mingola, who admitted in Bolivia to have been in the pay of the CIA, was part of, he said, a drug traffic operation. He was captured in an anti-drug operation, and he may be a key figure, according to the person who wrote this article, in evidence of the CIA Argentine Bolivian military drug traffic, if he would be allowed to testify in Italy. So, of course, we haven't heard a word from him, and if I didn't have this wonderful friend to send me these articles, we wouldn't even be able to share this material. Speaking of drug traffickers, and one of the international leaders of the fascist movement of Mr. Mingola and the P2, Stefano Della Calle, Lizzie O'Gelli is in an Italian jail now, and according to a Swiss journal, May 18th, 1988, from the same friend, it says that Lizzie O'Gelli has started to talk. He doesn't want responsibility for the Bologna bombing, and in the course of his the trial hasn't really, I think, started, where he's publicly speaking, he's giving radio and television interviews. He confided that he had hidden abroad a 500-page testimony of Michele Sindona, the Sicilian banker who died of poisoning in an Italian prison 3 years ago. Now, that was God's banker. He represented the Vatican and was fed cyanide in an Italian jail and silenced him. So Calvi now has 500 pages of Sindona's writing that he can hold out. And, of course, Stefano has the list of 17,000 fascist organizations and persons. And then Lizzie Ogelli, according to this article, also goes into the fact that his friend Roberta Calvi was forced into a murder-suicide, pushed into a suicide, which is literally a murder. And I guess he has a lot more information on the former president of the Banco Ambrosiano in Italy. These stories that are just the tips of the iceberg just stay that way and never allowed to develop. So there is a tremendous control over reporters and radio and television and even the printed word and what comes into this country. We think we are free. We're not free. And the overseas press carry these stories and we never even get a bit of them. Now, getting to a local matter in California that I haven't updated for a long time. This is an article from Marin Independent. Marin County is above San Francisco, across the Bay Bridge. The Independent, an article December the 6th, 1987, that I didn't have time to share with you, but I don't want to pass it up any longer. The article says, Satanic church members, including a key figure in the Presidio child molestation case, have been linked to satanic cult activities in Marin County. William Butch, 34 years old, and Lynn Butch, 31, are listed in the Marin County Clerk's Office as founding two satanic cult groups, Dark Star 9 Pylon and Meta Mates. Those are the names of the two groups. Now, William Butch is the brother-in-law of Michael Aquino, the Lieutenant Colonel in the Army Reserves and founder of the Temple of Set. Aquino was under investigation. He wasn't investigated at all on possible molestation charges at the Presidio Daycare Center. William Butch's sister, Lilith, is Aquino's wife. Aquino owns property in Marin County and in Sonoma County, including a historic San Rafael house that he inherited from his mother. His mother's name was Betty Ford Aquino. I thought that was quite an interesting coincidence because of all the mysterious and horrible things about Gerald Ford that I followed and noticed. And he was adopted. Gerald Ford was adopted and saw allegedly his natural father when he was 8 years old. But anyway, let's chalk this up to a funny coincidence. The Betty Ford Aquino, mother of the founder of the Church of Set. And she also was a high priestess. She was a temple priestess. Ford Aquino died of cancer in San Francisco in 1985. She was a temple priestess. She left her son $3.2 million estate. Now, this is the woman who allegedly was knocked up by a member of the Gestapo, pardon the expression, or went with a member of the Waffen-SS, and the circumstances, of course, were very cloudy about that relationship. Mr. Aquino, Colonel Aquino, has home with Nazi memorabilia, and he's the fellow who went to Himmler's castle and does the satanic rituals to duplicate what Heinrich Himmler and the SS did. And of course, these huge hunks of money come through to these people. I wonder if any of this Nazi money, just speculating, how she got the $3.2 million that she just happened to leave to Michael Aquino. Now, among her property is a house on 828 Mission Street in San Rafael. That's leased to Project Care for Children, and another office leases part of that group, the Marin County Child Abuse Council. Now, there have been two mysteries, disappearing children out here, one in Sacramento and one near San Jose, and there was supposed to be a time for occult rituals just recently in June, and these children haven't been found. And, of course, there's a lot of mysterious missing people continuing and not getting the news coverage. But Michael Aquino owns property that he rents to Project Care for Children and the Marin County Child Abuse Center. Aquino also inherited a professional building in San Rafael at 914 Mission Street and another professional building at 1212 4th Street in Santa Rosa. And according to this article, the relationship of him to the property, those other properties, has to do with Lilith and her brother. And the article says officials for Project Care for Children expressed shock that the building's owner was linked to the Presidio molestation case. Their center, they said, has nothing to do with Michael Aquino. It's a private, nonprofit organization that helps parents find daycare. And I remember a lot of evidence of problems when children found help in finding daycare and what happened to them afterwards. In fact, the whole purpose of that meeting, enough that Dr. and Mrs. Polcat in San Francisco, is because they went through an established bureau and tried to find daycare for their little boy, and then found that he was a victim of child abuse or molestation. So that getting daycare for people doesn't mean that's the end of the problem. The article says this is the most ironic and bizarre twist of fate. Lynn Butch, who also used the name L. Darlene Butch, is the daughter of Harry Johnson, a wealthy Mill Valley developer who was allegedly kidnapped in September. And this is another story, not with the child abuse, but with the story of this family involved with Michael Aquino and Lilith, his wife and her brother and sister-in-law. Dark Star 9 Pylon, which is filed under the corporation name of Temple of Nephthys, N-E-P-T-H-Y-S, lists an address on Indian Valley Road in Novato. The house was formerly occupied by a former friend of Lynn Butch, Patricia Lilly of Sonoma County. Dark Star is similar to the name originally given the Temple of Set. A pylon, said a former temple member, get this name, Linda Blood, is a gathering of Satanists to practice occult rituals. Blood, when she was a temple member for 9 months, said they held destruction rituals, voodoo ceremonies with pins and needles, and they believed it would work. They believed that they could cause persons to die. Linda Blood left the temple and now works in Massachusetts for the Cult Awareness Network. Maida Mates is listed as doing business in a professional building at 205 Camino Alto in Mill Valley, and so forth. The article goes on and describes some more about Aquino, which I've had on my program, and his links to Gary Humbright at the Presidio Daycare Center. And, of course, all those 10 counts of child abuse and molestation were dropped, and the entire Aquino affair was dropped. So running to child care centers has to be a very interesting coincidence. Now, I haven't done much on the, or hardly anything, on the McMartin Preschool, and I will do it. We're going to be limited to tapes now because I'm going to stop at the end of July. There were two long articles in the Washington Post on the McMartin School, and I'm going to give you the source of those articles. And if you have access to the Washington Post, and if you're interested in the subject, you can copy it instead of my putting it on a tape. And if you don't have access and can't reach them, then I will share the information on the it's not a broadcast, it's a tape. April the 17th, 1988, the first of two articles, April 17th, is titled The Terrible Puzzle of McMartin Preschool. In California, the long-running trial of a baffling child molestation case. It's not a child, it's children, and it is a horrible story. And while they're trying to work this out, as I mentioned a while back, they even have cameras ready to make movies about it, going to the hearings and so forth. The second of the articles was May 18, 1988, called The Community of Fear. In Manhattan Beach, California, a long struggle for parents caught in the web of nightmare. So if you don't have access to the Washington Post, let me know and I'll update those for you. But there's no reason to go into that at length now if you can get your hands on those articles. There was an article May 7th, last month, 1988, in our local area, San Jose Mercury, and this pertains to a town in Hollister, not too many miles from Carmel. It's in Monterey County. It's called Police Tie Murder to the Occult. Police are tying the Easter Sunday slaying of a Hollister woman to the occult. The man charged with her murder practiced black magic. Raul Sanchez Zamudio, a 41-year-old counselor at a county-operated home for juvenile delinquents, was arraigned. And again, you get these people in charge of juvenile delinquents. I remember way back, and I want to update it, the Charles Ng, Leonard Lake, Clarilyn Blazas case with Calaveras County, with umpteen corpses, body bags taken out, about 36, it seemed, and Leonard Lake bit the cyanide bullet rather than face investigations when he was picked up by the police, and Charles Ng is in Canada fighting extradition. I think he'll be home soon to be charged with 3 or 4 murder cases. But Clarilyn Blazas, whose parents owned the property, still own it for all purposes, where a bunker was built for torture, and there were, this was an occult group for also, but they were involved, I believe, in much higher political connections that portend something very dangerous and serious. I mentioned those before. This Paul Cutter, Paul Seixola, who was sending arms to Iran, who worked with Cyrus Hashemi and Mr. Khashoggi, Adnan Khashoggi, the usual team of the CIA front runners for guns, drugs, subterfuge. Mr. Paul Cutter has the same attorney, Mr. Carroll, that Clarilyn Blazas has. And there are indications to me, a lot of them, that this is a very, very political case. But Clarilyn works for the juvenile delinquents, too. She even took juvenile delinquents to the property up there where they had videotapes and photographed, I don't know, couldn't be tortured because they went back to San Jose, but these young people were taken up there to the bunker for a weekend or weekends, plural, I don't know. So again, Raul Zamudio is a counselor at a county, paid by the county, operated home for juvenile delinquents. And how bad are the county homes or the fundings of federal and state money that the people who are handling these affairs are involved in satanic rituals, in the occult, and so forth? According to the police report released Friday, when they searched Zamudio's Hollister home, they found an altar and items that an expert in the occult said linked to the occult fascination with fertility, sexuality, and virginity, and also, you might say, with murder, right? Okay? Zamudio, since 1984, that goes back 4 years ago, has been working with delinquents, and so much for that. Now, a new book is coming out. You probably saw it on the weekend. It's in U.S. News and World Report this week, titled Best Laid Plans, The Inside Story of America's War Against Terrorism, written by David Martin, Pentagon correspondent for CBS, and John Walcott, national security correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. And what they, an excerpt from their book, what they have in their book is the fact that Ollie North had planned to use Terry Waite, a negotiator with the hostages, who is now a hostage himself, to bait Muammar Gaddafi, send Waite on the basis that maybe Gaddafi could help the hostages, Gaddafi would trust him, and they would meet in Tripoli, and Gaddafi would stay overnight. He would bait him to go there and stay there because he couldn't get home for afterwards. They would meet on April the 14th, and then April the 15th, the U.S. bombing raid on Libya, and that Gaddafi would be killed. And Ollie North had written the newspaper cover-up stories for it, just as I believe he did for the Korean airline, the Achille Lauro and TWA hijacking, and a lot of these terrorisms that came directly out of the national security state, the National Security Council. And as history evolves, you'll find this is true. Now, this Ollie North and the team around him, whether it was Admiral Poindexter, Navy Intelligence, or the Marines, Robert McFarlane and William Casey of the OSS, who worked with Galen and the German spies to form our CIA and became CIA director, they have an absolute fixation on murder. And if they want to get Muammar Gaddafi, why take a man who's trying to get the hostages out for the United States, for the world, Terry Waite, and use him as a pawn to bait Gaddafi to be at a certain place? The mentality is so sick. And I believe that the people, there are no people over the National Security Council. There's no president who says, wait, enough already. They worked outside the Pentagon, a lot of them, most of the secret team, outside of the CIA, the FBI, the Congress. So the endangering of Terry Waite's life now is very possible because the hostages are holding him, and they may not believe that he didn't know why he was going to meet with Gaddafi on April the 14th in Tripoli. They may believe that he was setting Gaddafi up to be killed. The bombs did fall, and Gaddafi was almost killed. So the consequences of this book are yet to be seen about how they treat the hostages in the Middle East. But once again, it points to the insanity of this country and how these small pockets of people can plan these things in advance and use the United States armed forces and maneuvers and create their cover stories and get Gaddafi in a certain city. Oliver North just seems to be groomed, in my mind, not only for the past things he did, but because of the mind control and experience in mental hospitals and because of all the things happening to him now, I think he is truly groomed for becoming the future Fuhrer of the United States. He's on a roll, and if people don't wake up, this could be the man. His father, who he's very close to, had a hero. He worked with George Patton, Fritz Kramer, the General Fritz Kramer, who was with George Patton. We don't know if Hitler's Kramer is the one in National Security Council that works with Ollie North. We know that the General Fritz Kramer of Adolf Hitler's was released by Senator Joe McCarthy. And the importance of the Kramer, Kissinger, National Security Council, Reinhard Gehlen connections cannot be emphasized enough, because no matter what happens now, North is on a roll unless you out there, you people, say enough already and try to do something about this national security state. There's an article in San Jose Mercury, and most of you saw it this past week, a jackpot for North. Speeches this year may earn more than $1 million. North will get $25,000 a speech, which is $600 a minute, and he is being signed up by the speaking bureau that arranges such successful people as Henry Kissinger, again, part of the Kissinger-Kramer outfit, and Gerald Ford, a member of the Warren Commission who was never elected president and who pardoned Richard Nixon, who ran against John Kennedy, and Oliver North. They've joined this group of speakers. And, of course, these are the highest-paid speakers in the country, and the team, again, stays together. Navy Commander Tom Hayes, a trustee of the Oliver North Legal Assistance Fund, was unsure how North's earnings as a lecturer would be mingled with the $1.5 million contributed to the fund. Now, why do you need an Oliver North Assistance Fund if he's making $25,000 a speech? His retirement from the service was going to be $23,000 a month. So why not just hand that paycheck over to Brendan Sullivan, his attorney? The highest speaker for all of this, according to this article, is former federal chairman Paul Volcker, scientist Carl Sagan, and commentator Paul Harvey. Well, the economy in America is so bad with the debt, and we could go on and on about the banks closing and so forth. I don't know why Paul Volcker gets more than any single person, which is $30,000. Paul Harvey is a commentator he's pretty far right, but that's okay. Let him get that for public appearance. And Carl Sagan, I wish he'd get into more practical matters. It's easy to stay up there in the skies and face the National Security Council, National Security State. Underneath the article that North is getting $1 million for possibly next year, $25,000 a speech, there is an article: Thailand renames their Nazi bar after foreigners complain. Bangkok, Thailand has a saloon which is called the Nazi Bar, and now it's going to be renamed. The owners replaced their pictures of Adolf Hitler and pictures of the Nazi stormtroopers and Mussolini with auto racing posters, and they now have rechristened it No Name on Wednesday. That's the name of the bar. The waiters were wearing armbands with the Waffen-SS, Gestapo, and of course, it is a very popular place in Bangkok. The complaint was that it glamorized Hitler's brutal regime in Germany. The real problem is that it doesn't glamorize that. It is calling attention to the resurgence of the Nazis all over the world, just those like those that I mentioned, the 13,800 in Italy. Bangkok has its Nazis ready to appear and wear the armbands. There's another book coming out by Ben Bradley. I said a long, long time ago, just wait till they start pouring out. Ben Bradley works for the Washington Post, and he works for the CIA, because once CIA, never passed CIA. The book is called The Rise and the Fall of Oliver North, and it will probably be a companion. It begins Guts and Glory, the rise and fall of Oliver North. It'll be companion to the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler, or the books on the rise and fall of Richard Nixon after Watergate. Those guys were rising, but I don't know that they ever fell. Ollie North is not falling, and according to this part of the books, the book that was reprinted in the San Francisco Examiner yesterday, it said that when North worked with his team, he prepared to take fall for Iran-Contra, but he wasn't prepared to be fired. The shock changed his thinking. The previous day, he shredded evidence. Now, he would gather up what remained to protect himself, and this is what Ollie North controls. Well, if Ollie North controls that, he literally controls the United States government and the world and the workings and the meetings of the people wrapped up in the Iran-Contra affair, which have international and fascist implications. So the book will have details of Richard Secord, reported that was in the Examiner yesterday, how he demanded that he and North and Green, their attorney, get together immediately to confer with Tom Green as soon as they heard that the diversionary process had been exposed by Edwin Meese at a news conference. So they rented a room at the Sheraton Hotel in Tyson's Corner. Secord and Green were there when North arrived, and then as soon as North was there, they got a telephone call from George Bush. Imagine what is in North's notebooks or what was in Fawn Hall's pants that she took away that day. I think it was more than we can even imagine in terms of possibilities of diaries and so forth. She's pretty skinny, and throw a sweater over it and you can get a lot of ledgers and notes out. I don't believe they were all in her bra. But they met there, and George Bush called them, and then the President of the United States called them, and the President, of course, said, and it's in this book, you'd make a great movie someday. And speaking of movies, there was a one-hour movie on ABC television on Ollie North. They're already making movies about him. And that movie that came out last Monday preceded the primaries around the country, and particularly in California, while Ollie North is campaigning. So this will be an interesting book. But just get a pencil when you buy it, and when it says the rise and fall of Ollie North, cross out the fall. We're the ones who are falling. Ollie North isn't falling, and Ben Bradley of the CIA is covering up again, like a lot of other people. Ollie North was in California campaigning for two people running for office, and both of them won in the primaries. One was a Mr. Rohrabacher, a former Reagan speechwriter, and he won in the 42nd Congressional District. He was replacing Don Lundgren, who was engaged in a legal fight over an appointment as state treasurer. Now, was Lundgren, with dirty tricks like they're doing to Mr. Wright at this time, pushed out to make way for Rohrabacher? And then another person, Mr. Cox, who Ollie North is very close to, a former White House counsel, ran for Congress in the 40th District, and he won, and he ran against a seat by Republican Representative Robert Badham. Badham resigned, making way for Cox, and a mini-scandal, unresolved, made way for Rohrabacher. Adolf Hitler stacked that Congress, if you called it one, in 1933, and then declared a total police state. I'm very much afraid of Ollie North and the posture he's taking, the money he has, how he can go all over to 50 states if he wants and work for various people until he kicks out the Congress or the congressional people, such as Representative Barnes in Maryland, a person who was fingering the NSC, a courageous man fingering them, who went into total obscurity for doing a great job, and Carl Spitz Channel and the organizations that got rid of Barnes aren't even tapped on the finger. Spitz Channel pleaded guilty a year ago to the Iran-Contra affair and hasn't even gone to jail. There's not even a word about him. He could be manipulating our elections. One quick word out of the Miami Herald. Judge King, Judge Lawrence King, has allowed depositions of Edwin Wilson into the Christic Institute suit, which is very good because Danny Sheehan said King's acceptance of Edwin Wilson's testimony is a major turning point because previously King ruled that he would examine only depositions covering a period from 1982. Wilson's testimony goes into the creation of a secret, self-financed, covert operation enterprise starting in the mid-1970s. So that is a victory for the Christic Institute. And Edwin Wilson is talking about Theodore Shackley, setting up secret intelligence operations that committed assassinations, which includes Dallas. The won't be in the Christic suit, of course. They take a later period. Smuggling drugs and weapons to the Nicaraguan Contras. Theodore Shackley is a defendant in the suit. A former CIA director is, of course, not very happy about the Christic Institute suit, but Edwin Wilson is coming in to testify about their setting up drug running, gun running, and assassination teams, which fits into the pattern of the Christic Institute suit, and Wilson will be allowed to give that information. One item that I don't have time to go into now, the tape is over, is an article in the Washington Times, Indictments Expected of Contra Supporters, a Neutrality Violation. Because the time is over, I won't do it now. Mr. Tom Posey and Jesu Garcia and poor Mr. Terrell, Jack Terrell, are going to be indicted for sending guns to the Contras. And, of course, they're controversial people, but the hour is up. I'll start with that next week and share the information on this case in the federal courts in Miami. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you next week.